Thank you, Andrew. Andrew, for those of you who don't know, is one of two military chaplains that we have in our church congregation. The other one is sitting up here on the front row of the balcony, Mike Chester. We appreciate their ministry to our military and also to our church. I hope you're enjoying our series of sermons on Paradise Valley's Windows of Grace as much as I am. Here we are on the fifth sermon of the series, and we're not even halfway through the windows in the sanctuary, much less all the windows in our entire church. We have at least eight more sermons left after today in this series. Our fourth window for today is this one back here in the corner, labeled Patience. Some of you may be able to see it if you crane your neck around. Again, one of the fruit of the Spirit, is, you can probably repeat this with me by now, can't you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I'm beginning to get a clearer picture of what it is to have the fruit of God's Spirit growing in your life. Again, I must state for those who may have missed a week or two, this series is about the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. There's a difference. It is one fruit. It has nine manifestations, nine characteristics, but there's only one fruit. Either you have it all or you don't have it at all. This fruit is characterized by the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness. All of these things in our life tell us if we have the fruit. Wouldn't you love to know that this was describing your life? Are you a patient person? Here's a question for you. Does our world even know what patience is? After all, we've invented fast foods, express lanes, drive-thrus, microwaves, instant text messaging, FaceTime, smartphones, and TVs on the smartphones so we can have them with us all the time. We have an app for just about anything you can imagine today, even one to find the closest fast food store in case you're in a rush and out of town. Do we even know what patience is? You may have heard this story, but it makes an important point. This woman was in heavy traffic and her car stalled. You ever had that happen? She was there trying her best to get that car started, and the horns were beginning to honk all around her. She finally got out and lifted the hood to see if she could see anything. Well, what you're going to see under that hood today? Finally, she walked back to the first car behind her and says, I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. If you'll go up there and give it a try, I'll sit here and honk your horn for you. Do we know what patience is? We've all seen the bumper sticker, which says, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. I'm not sure by the time we're through here today that you're going to say that's a prayer you want to pray. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says patience is the capacity, a habit, or fact of being patient. Patient is steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. How do you get patience? Or rather, how can we become steadfast or a patient person? I think it's safe to say that we want God and we want others to be patient with us, right? But are we patient with others? Are we even patient with ourselves? One of the biggest problems in the church today comes from people who are not being patient with others, right? We think others should be and do exactly like we do. And if they don't, we become critical and judgmental. This one thing has driven more people away from church and away from God than any other thing. Which makes me ask the next question. How many professed Christians are truly bearing the fruit of the Spirit in their lives? If patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit, and lack of patience is one of the largest problems in the church, well, here's where the rub comes. If we are truly abiding in Christ and He is dwelling in us, then we will be bearing the fruit of the Spirit, right? Which includes our text, our subject for this morning, patience. Being patient with each other. Do we have room to grow in this area of our lives? I think so. Now, I've learned the hard way, so I'm not going to ask all of you to raise your hands with me and admit that you struggle with being patient. Because as soon as I do that, I will have one of you or two of you meet me at the door and impatiently complain that I shouldn't ask everyone to raise their hands with me, saying that they too struggle with impatience, because they never struggle with impatience. So I will just ask you to think about it this morning. Do you, like I do, struggle with being impatient at times? We remember how in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us that we receive forgiveness in the same way that we forgive others. Might that also be true in the area of being patient too? Just a thought. Maybe God will be patient with us in the same degree that we are patient with others. I don't have a text for that, but just think about it. Might it be? If it's true with love, it might be true even with patience. Notice with me what the Apostle Peter says about patience. 2 Peter 3:15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. I believe what Peter is telling us is that if God wasn't patient with us, not one of us would have a chance of having salvation. Because we all struggle with our human sinful nature. We all fail many, many times in our walk with God. I'm so thankful that God is patient with me. Sometimes I feel that is one reason that patience is listed as a characteristic of the fruit of God's Spirit, because that is what God is like. And as we look at these characteristics, it is quickly becoming apparent that it is in reality describing the character of God. The fruit of the Spirit is what God is like. It is actually His character, which He wants to reproduce in you and me. We've already seen that the pure agape love God wants us to have for each other can only be ours as we experience God's agape love for us. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins." We have seen that we are to be joyous even as we face trials of life, because this will help us grow to Christian maturity. We saw a few weeks ago there in James 1:2-4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing." Oh, by the way, have you read that text recently in the King James Version? Let's look at it. "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh" what? Ah, patience is suddenly in there. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So this text fits for today too, doesn't it? Evidently, perseverance and patience are the same thing. And perseverance and patience come through the testing of our faith. So when we pray, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now, what are we saying? Test me, Lord. Give me something to test my patience with. Because patience comes through testing. Stretch our faith. It comes through experience. Last week we saw that we are to be at peace at all times because Jesus has walked this road before us. He knows what we are facing. He's able to comfort us, and he leaves this promise for us right there on the eve of his crucifixion. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God wants nothing more for us than that we grow in our Christian character to become just like Jesus. I once heard a pastor describe it this way. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to become just like Jesus. So what does patience look like? The wisest man who ever lived had this to say about patience in Proverbs 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. So according to Proverbs, patience overlooks offenses. Have you ever been offended? Have you ever been offended by me? Possible. Patience overlooks offenses. Notice it doesn't excuse them, but it says it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote the following about patience in James chapter 5, 7 to 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I love the example James uses of the garden. Most of us at one time or another have planted something, and we all know that it takes patience to grow a garden. I love the story of the little girl who was visiting her grandma. Grandma asked her, do you want to go out and help me plant the garden today? Oh, yes, Grandma. Soon her and her grandmother were busy planting their garden. They planted lettuce seeds and radishes. They put in carrots, cucumbers, corn, and beans. The next morning, the grandmother looked around for the little granddaughter and found her out in the garden, squatting down, looking at the ground. Grandma says, what are you looking for? Did you lose something? Oh, I didn't lose anything, Grandma. I'm looking for the corn and the beans. We planted them, but all I see is dirt. And Grandma had to explain about being patient. It takes time to grow things. It doesn't happen overnight. But sometimes we're just like that little granddaughter. We expect results overnight. Somebody joins the church and we expect them to be just like us overnight. We expect to see results, particularly when it comes to other people's changes. You don't put seeds in the ground and expect to harvest fruits and vegetables the next day, or even the next week, or the next month. It takes time for a garden to produce its fruits. You prepare the soil, you add composting, you pull the weeds, you plant the seeds, you water the soil. God provides the sun to warm that little seed, to germinate it. It's truly a miracle how a small seed, many of them no bigger than a grain of sand, can grow and produce a large plant that produces fruit or vegetables for us to eat. This, James tells us, is how patience grows in our life too. It too is God's work. Without God working within us, the seed of patience wouldn't produce very much at all. It takes God to cause it to grow in our lives and become anything of value. Just like seeds, you can have hundreds of seeds, but without the miracle, which comes from God alone, those little seeds will never grow and produce anything. They can sit in your cupboard for years and won't do a thing till you put them in the ground and God performs the miracle. But even that miracle takes time. James not only mentions the garden in this passage, but he draws our mind to what is a classic biblical example of patience, Job. You've all heard someone say, he must have the patience of Job. I won't finish what that might be in reference to. Most of us have probably read the biblical story of Job. He was the Warren Buffett of his day, very rich. He had a large family, flocks and herds, but in one day, Satan swept it all away, destroying his flocks, destroying his herds, destroying his family. It would have been the most natural thing for Job to become impatient and even angry. His wife did. The biblical account says his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Get it over with." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Job's friends came to comfort him. They tried to pry out of Job what he must have done to deserve all of this calamity and troubles and trials. But Job insists he's guiltless. He hasn't done anything wrong. Satan attacks Job's body with painful sores, yet still, Job doesn't curse God. Now, he curses the day he was born. He was tormented mentally by his friends, who insisted that he must have done something terribly wrong to make God so angry with him. But Job remained steadfast in his walk with God. If you're struggling right now, the book of Job makes for some interesting reading. But I think the first chapter tells us the real story. Job 1, starting in verse 6, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.' 'Does Job fear God for nothing?' Satan replied. 'Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Very well, then. Everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger.'" Well, he goes out. Here's the story. There are blessings from God when we are faithful to him. Job illustrates that. But there's also an enemy of souls who is wrongfully accusing us before God. And from time to time, God allows him to test us to see if Satan is right or whether Our testimony is right about our relationship with God. Job was tested because he was, not because he was bad. He had not committed any sin against God. Even God said that. But rather, he was very faithful to God. Job made it through the test with flying colors. The end of the story, chapter 42, verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Do you need to have the capacity or the habit of being steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity? How do you develop patience? The same way Job did, by having a close relationship with God. As we abide in Christ, and He abides in us through the Holy Spirit, as we receive from Him the strength and the power to live the Christian life, we will bear the fruit of that relationship. It's not an if. Not a but, it's a reality. If we abide in Christ, if His Spirit is abiding in us, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit for the glory of God. Yes, we will face tribulations. Yes, we will face trials. Yes, we will be tempted. Yes, there will be all kinds of things in this world coming at us. But because we live with God, Satan cannot overcome us because the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of that Spirit in our life, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what God looks like. That's what God wants you to look like. He wants to recreate His character in you. Will you let Him do it? Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the promises of Your Word and that You have told us what You want us to look like in our walk with You. Father, we just pray that we can surrender ourselves again to You. May we keep that relationship secure with You. As Job of old, though Satan tests us and tries us and tries to destroy us, he will not be successful because we are secure in Your hands. We are abiding in You, and You and us. See us through to Your eternal kingdom, Father. Keep us until that day, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.